Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 14, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: why we're stoic about 2 million COVID fatalities. Over the past year, some 2 million people have died of the coronavirus disease. Yet, how alarmed are we? Let's face it, we're not. We're terribly anxious over the shutting down of businesses, movie theaters, sports arenas, schools, and other such deprivations of entertainment and engagement. But what about the 2 million victims of the virus? We're quite stoic about it. Indeed, if you consider the global population, 2 million fatalities from COVID-19 is not a lot. We treat it like a natural phenomenon, a case of force majeure, so to speak. So we are pretty calm about it. But there is a bigger problem here. We are oblivious to the purpose of the plague, and because of it, we are already brewing the next blow, which will be more painful and more widespread than even the coronavirus. If all we care about is not being able to go to bars and movies, then we are bringing on ourselves a worse disaster than the virus, something that will force us to look for the root of these catastrophes, and not pin our hopes on vaccines that are only good until the next resistant mutation comes along. The root cause of the plague is our corrupt relations toward each other. These relations aren't just smashing the fabric of society, as we are seeing now all over the US. Exploitation and ill will are destroying the fabric of our entire world. They are deleterious to our society, to our planet, to our health, and to all animal species. They prevent us from cooperating for the benefit of all of humanity. They do not let us work shoulder to shoulder to save our planet. The distrust does not let us mend the wounds of our society, which leads to violence, aggression, bigotry, poverty, depression, substance abuse, and wars. Our mistreatment of each other causes us to mistreat everything around us: the soil, the water, the air, plants, animals, and people. All of them suffer because we hate each other, and they react accordingly. This is why storms are growing more intense, fires more widespread and common, and plagues spread faster and appear sooner than ever before. The message from all of them is clear: fix your relations or your relations will destroy you. We haven't the prerogative to be stoic about COVID-19's victims, because doing so destroys our future. If we correct our relations, it will calm the ordeals that I just mentioned, and we will find peace, and peace of mind. Otherwise, we're in for a very bad year, and an even worse decade. Michael Leitman, on Quora: is it possible for a person to be considered spiritual without being religious? Yes, it is. Spirituality is focused exclusively on bestowal, while religion exists within the corporeal sphere, which is about reception, and which has corresponding intentions. However, judging from people's actions, it can be quite unclear. Spirituality requires never dividing creation into differing, opposing and contradictory forces, but instead attributing everything to one force of love and bestowal that is positioned behind everything. Spiritual ascent is achieved by attributing to a single force what appears to us as good and evil. In other words, the upper force, which relates to us through an attitude of bestowal and love, holds a conversation with us through the forces of good and evil, in order to guide our development to the eventual discovery of one force positioned behind everything. In the process, we adhere to that spiritual force above what we perceive in our corporeal reality, and rise the rungs of the spiritual ladder. However, people on the spiritual path can carry out all sorts of religious customs as a result of their upbringing, education, culture, and their nation's traditions. I think that it is positive to treat religion in such a way. Yet, religion should be no replacement for spiritual progress, because the sublime attainment of the spiritual force of bestowal and love should be above and beyond everything else. Religion in and of itself does not interfere with this attainment. What can hold us back from spiritual attainment is falsely thinking that religion can replace spirituality. In other words, conducting various physical actions, and praying according to written words according to a certain schedule, will not lead us to spiritual attainment. We discover spirituality by aiming to apply the qualities of the spiritual force, love and bestowal, among our own qualities and relations, as described in the tenet, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, intentions, thoughts and desires are of utmost importance, and our actions are secondary. Many religious people conduct actions habitually, having been raised from childhood to perform them without thinking, and there is no spiritual ascent in doing so. Spirituality, that is, the intention to love and bestow, is thus not achieved by religious actions, but by positively connecting with others in a common intention. Religious actions, however, do not become cancelled. They are like a branch that symbolizes the spiritual root, and people can remain in that culture. Such customs neither interfere with nor help spiritual advancement. They simply remind us that spiritual actions exist, which is also the reason for their preservation throughout the generations. Based on the Daily Kabbalah lesson on 20 November 11, 2020. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. My new article on LinkedIn: the big tech bans is the beginning of their end. The ban that big tech companies put on President Donald Trump's social media accounts and conservative platforms is bad news for everyone. Even German Chancellor Angela Merkel, whose socialistic views often put her at odds with President Trump, released a statement saying that the Chancellor considers it problematic that the President's accounts have been permanently suspended. Her concern wasn't personal for Trump, but rather because the right to freedom of opinion is of fundamental importance. Similar to Merkel, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador lambasted the social media ban, saying, "I don't like anybody being censored or taking, sick, away from the right to post a message on Twitter or Facebook. I don't agree with that, I don't accept that." Even more active is Poland, according to Zero Hedge. Polish Justice Minister Zbigniew Ziobro announced a legal initiative on Thursday which enables individuals to file complaints against social media companies who remove or censor their posts if they don't break Polish law. "I fully concur with the criticism of social media big tech. No one gave them the right to censor free speech. This prerogative is given solely to the people at the political helm of countries, not to a small coterie who decide to take the law into their own hands. Just as an electrician cannot switch someone's power off just because he feels like it, social media big tech cannot ban accounts on a whim." Even more ironic is that they profess to do so to protect people's safety. Clearly, if this is allowed to continue, it will lead to very bad results. However, I believe that by doing what they did, they stuck the last nail in their casket. They may think that they are ruling the world, but they will vanish. One way or the other, and sooner rather than later, people will realize that they can't trust what they see on the media, and without trust, they'll stop coming. If the system we rely on for truthful news becomes so openly biased, no one will believe a word they say, and there will be no point going to their sites. This reckoning will finally awaken people to the realization that the true culprit in the crisis unfolding before us is not a person or a group of persons, but a trait rooted in human nature, egoism. Pure, unadulterated egocentrism is at the heart of all our problems, and it is killing us, from within and from without. When we realize this, we will also realize that all of reality but us operates on a completely different fuel from ours. While our fuel is ego, their fuel is balance and harmony. Just as we don't feel that we are so egoistic, as this is our nature, so the rest of nature does not feel how balanced and harmonious it is. But we, who can observe it from the outside since we are opposite from it, can detect the balance and harmony that dominate all of existence. When we realize this, we, too, will want to become balanced and harmonious. And when we do, we will begin to learn, together, how to truly build a thriving human society, a prosperous economy that does not deny others their own. We will learn how to empower one another rather than exploit our fellow human beings, and our fellow residents on the only planet we have got. At that time, we will not need despotic social networks to connect us, since the connections will be in our hearts. The Master loves his work. We need to reach such an atmosphere in the Ten that we enjoyed the work against our egoistic desires as a special art. A true master loves his work no matter with what material he works, whether it is wood or metal. He enjoys when he creates. Cooking dinner can be an art, it all depends on the desire of the person involved in the work. We need to make sure that we begin to enjoy the spiritual work and that it does not cause us suffering. We need to enjoy the resistance of the egoism and we must overcome it. After all, every moment when I overcome my egoism, I feel that I am a craftsman in the process of creation and can be a partner of the Creator, turn egoism into bestowal, and rise above it. By doing so, I bring contentment to the Creator. Rising above egoism is an art, and I feel like a master equal to the Creator because I try to be his assistant. I move from the side of my egoism to the side of the Creator and work on myself, on the material embedded in me, so that together with the Creator I can sculpt myself into a man, Adam. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 10, 2021, Chapter Shemot. A lifeline in the flow of life. We need to build in our ten such protection, like a safety net, a lifeline, or a safety belt, that would support everyone. Then a person will feel that he always has something to hold on to so that foreign desires will not lead him away from the path. There should be a feeling in the group that we are going together toward the same goal, according to a reliable method, trying to get closer to each other and to the Creator. The main thing is not to forget that any situation comes directly from the upper force. It is simply necessary to remember this so that we will not make mistakes in any state. If I remember that I receive everything from the Creator, then I am guided toward the correct side from which I will obtain all the qualities to turn this state into a good state and advance through it. Therefore, you must always be in the feeling that there is none else besides Him. This is how I correctly aim myself in the flow of life, which comes as a wave and washes over the entire world. Look at the bewilderment and confusion in the world today. No one knows what will happen with the pandemic and what will happen to the world in general. If we understand that we are under the influence of the upper force that controls the entire system and can change everything in one swoop, then we only need to establish a connection with this force and learn from him why he did all this and what the reason is. This will help all of us reach the purpose of creation together. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 10, 2021, Chapter Shemot. The year of transition to a new life. Since humanity does not understand what has happened to it as a result of the coronavirus epidemic, it wants to return to its old familiar life. People dream that everything will be the same: factories, restaurants, entertainment venues, and the businesses that were closed in 2020, will all open as if the clock was turned back. The media paints the future as a complete copy of the past and only discusses how much time and money it will take to restore the old way of life. But we must not think this way. After all, we will squander all the resources that are left without any benefit and will be left empty-handed, without strength or hope for the future. It is impossible to go back to the past. We are obliged to move forward toward greater connection between people, toward greater rapprochement, toward friendly relations, and in this way we will be able to come to a new world. If we want to restore our previous way of life, then we will call blows from nature upon ourselves, which will have to teach us, at the cost of great suffering, that there is no turning back. When I see the pressure emanating from nature, which strives to organize humanity at a new level, with renewed vigor, I am glad that, instead of a world war with many millions killed and dying of hunger, it is acting with such gentle and careful methods, with love. This is how a parent raising a child understands that he has to put pressure on the child to restrict him so that he does not act outrageously and does not harm himself. But all this pressure is out of love. This is the same parental attitude that I have felt coming toward us from nature and have realized that this will last for several years because nature is pressing on us, in a very gentle way. Nature could have twisted us, in a hard way, but it has given humanity time to figure out where we are. I hope we will accept this hint correctly. I think that in 2021, we will all feel and understand this purposeful appeal of nature that is meant to organize us, and turn us, in the right direction. All the states have come for our benefit so that we will go deeper into them, and reveal and feel the special care from above that is moving us, forward to a new level, a new stage of human existence. Nature is helping us, get closer to each other and see that there is only a good perspective in front of us. I think that next year will reveal this to us. We just need to open our eyes and our minds and try to understand what nature, that is, the Creator, is doing to us. To what extent 2021 will be successful depends on whether or not we will understand what the upper force wants to give us, and do to us. In its evolution, nature is constantly moving us forward into better conditions so that, instead of fighting, we unite and help each other. Our planet can feed everyone and give all the benefits. There is enough space for everyone and we have enough strength to provide everyone with everything they need for a good, normal existence. In the developed connection between us, we will begin to attain the most important thing, the revelation of the Creator to the created beings. I think 2021 will be a transitional year from our past life to our future one. This transition will not be completed in 1 year, rather, it will take several years. But, at least we will begin to realize what state we should reach in the near future. We must not make products that are unnecessary. We must not squeeze out all the natural resources from the earth. We must not needlessly squander money in all directions. It is necessary to invest all available funds in the integral education of people in order to instill in them the desire to get closer and to attain the upper force, the Creator, in the connection between us. Then, we will reach the state of eternity and perfection that awaits us. In the coming new year, I want people to understand the essence of the development that nature has placed us in and how to help it, from our side, by becoming its active partners. Then, we will very quickly come to a good and happy life. I hope that, in a year, when we see 2021 off, our state will already be much better than it is today. From Cab TV's The World, December 8, 2020. Connection with the Creator through the friends. Question: how can I invoke sufferings inside me because I have no connection with the group? Answer: you don't need to invoke anything under any circumstances. The only thing you should do is to search for connection with the Creator through the connection with the friends. Advancement this way is gradual because we have to exit one nature, to stop feeling the self, and begin to feel the group and the Creator inside it. There is a switch of worlds here as when I feel myself, it is my world, and when I feel the group and the Creator inside it, it is the upper world. This is practical work. You cannot sit at home and imagine everything theoretically. You must implement the method and engage in dissemination. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 18, 2018. My new article on LinkedIn, All Blue. Imagine standing outside your house on a sunny January morning. The deep blue sky is stunning in its clarity, and you could stare at it for hours. Now imagine looking straight ahead at the houses and trees in front of you. You expect to find brown trunks and branches, a dark brown earth, or the array of colors on the walls of houses in your neighborhood, but there is none of it. Their color has turned to deep winter blue, just like the sky. In fact, they are so similar that you can barely tell them apart from the skyline. This is what has happened to the American society. It's become all blue. Even blacks are now blue. If you dare support a different color, you are ousted, banned, and banished. Now look down and picture the ground. It was supposed to be pitch black on the asphalt road or brown around the barren trees with patches of muddy snow from last week's blizzard. But it isn't. It is blue, deep, deep blue, just like the sky above you and the houses everywhere you look. The whole world is one and only color, the deep, clear blue of winter skies. The next morning, you come out of your house, breathe the fresh air of winter, and once again, stare at the blue sky above you, blue trees and buildings before you and behind you, and the blue ground beneath your feet. On the third day, nothing changes, and likewise on the fourth, the fifth, and so on for weeks, months, years, a lifetime. The world has become all blue. This is what has happened to the American society. It's become all blue. Even blacks are now blue. If you dare support a different color, you are ousted, banned, and banished. Just like our world, society cannot consist of just one color. It is not real, unhealthy, and will bring with it America's doom, simply because it is unnatural. When public discourse allows only one voice to be heard, it breaks the foundations of the country. If you take social media and all the mainstream newspapers, they all back one and only narrative. This is very wrong for the American society. Just as walking forward means tilting slightly left, then slightly right, but always forward using both legs, so society must lean this way and that way, but always forward, toward a stronger union above left and right. Society cannot limp on one leg only, it will fall. The duty of the media is to reflect both sides as equally as humanly possible, so people can shift and tilt this way or that way, but do it in a healthy manner. When you silence the opposite view, you are weakening yourself and forcing the other side to reinvigorate itself. Nothing good will come out of this. Republicans will build their own systems, develop, and grow stronger, while Democrats are basking in their own complacency. They are building for themselves what the Bolsheviks built for themselves in Russia 100 years ago. Indeed, it is a blue, blue world. My new article on LinkedIn: what Israel can or cannot expect from the Jews in the Biden administration. When the Biden administration takes office, it will be one of the most, if not the most Jewish administration in US history. No fewer than 11 senior positions will be occupied by Jews, including the Secretary of State, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Treasury, Chief of Staff, Director of National Intelligence, and quite a few others. Moreover, all three of Joe Biden's daughters-in-laws and son-in-law are Jewish, as is Kamala Harris' husband. The Democratic Party is infested with sworn and vociferous anti-Semites and Israel bashers, but this is completely inconsequential to American Jews, whose vast majority supports the Democratic Party. Moreover, quite a few American Jews support specifically those anti-Semites and Israel bashers. You think that Israel would be thrilled about such proliferation of Jews in key positions in the new administration, but Israel has no reason to celebrate. The chasm between American Jews and the State of Israel has never been deeper or wider. The Democratic Party is infested with sworn and vociferous anti-Semites and Israel bashers, but this is completely inconsequential to American Jews, whose vast majority supports the Democratic Party. Moreover, quite a few American Jews support specifically those anti-Semites and Israel bashers. This leads to a very simple conclusion: they are Jews only by name. They do not understand the meaning of Judaism or the spirit of being Jewish, and the fact that we are labeled under the same religion, Judaism, is merely a formality. When it comes to the Jewish state, Israel has nothing to look forward to. Today's Democratic Party is nothing like it was a few decades ago. If Jews feel comfortable hobnobbing with people who tried to destroy Israel's ability to protect itself, then they don't care about Israel. If they rub shoulders with rabid anti-Semites, then they do not care about Judaism. Actions, we know, speak much louder than words. This leaves Israel with only one option: to rely on itself. Militarily, economically, or in any other sense, Israel is very vulnerable. But if the people of Israel unite, they will have all the power they need to overcome any ordeal. It is with good reason that anti-Semites not only hate, but also fear our power. They feel that we are far stronger than we feel about ourselves. But they are right, and we are the ignorant ones. Our power lies in our unity, and the only reason we feel weak is our division. If we overcame our division and united, even though we cannot stand each other, but simply because unity is more important than how we feel about each other, we would immediately find that our enemies are gone. We wouldn't even have to fight them. In fact, they would not only be gone, but they would sincerely seek our friendship. This is the power of our unity. If this feels unrealistic, it is only because we haven't tried, and because our egos blind us to the fact that everything that is united is stronger than everything that is apart. If we allow ourselves to see it, we will understand that our duty to ourselves, to our children, and to the world is to rise above our quarrels and abhorrence and unite despite the rifts. Then, our unity would be as strong as the hatred we had overcome, since the intensity of our hatred would compel us to forge a union that can override that hatred. This would be a kind of unity that the world has never seen, but that it will be eager to emulate once we achieve it. And when the world is eager to learn our kind of unity, the nations will turn from enemies to friends. Clearly, the ego will never let us agree to this concept, but this doesn't make it any less true. Just as reason denies quantum mechanics, but we all use it everywhere, from microwaves to missiles, and it works without fail, so will unity. If we only dare apply it, it will work. For more on the meaning of unity for the people of Israel and for the world, look up my book Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour. Envy as an Advancement Accelerator. Question: where does the feeling of envy come from? What is the reason for it? Answer: the usual envy between people is egoistic. When I envy what the other has, it doesn't even matter if I have it too, I'm satisfied with it, and I feel good. Anyway, when I see it as something that gives pleasure to another, then I envy his pleasure. This is unreasonable envy, groundless envy, no matter what. Question: so this is a consequence of our egoistic nature? Answer: of course. Question: if envy is viewed as an accelerator that helps me fulfill my desires, how does it work? Answer: such envy should be specially developed by person who practices Kabbalah so that he envies other Kabbalists, since they can enjoy the Creator and perform more actions of bestowal and love. Looking at them, he gets excited and also wants to advance even more in the property of bestowal and love for people, and through them to the Creator. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 3, 2019. Different types of souls. Question: can we say that in our world there are two categories of souls, old experienced ones and new, young ones? Do the old souls come to our world specifically to help new souls? Answer: yes. This is really so. Question: do they somehow differ from each other? Answer: it is impossible to tell the difference. Question: that is, at first glance, I will not be able to understand whether it is a young soul or an old one. Answer: no. In addition, there is the so-called reincarnation of souls. Every moment a person has a different soul. from Cab TV's Ask a Cablist, December 31, 2018. How can we acquire determination along the way? Question: how can we acquire determination along the way? Answer: determination is acquired by feedback. If the teacher influences the 10 and the 10 influences you, you feel determined and safe along the way. Everything is solved in this chain, which is the only thing that exists. Question: if the 10 and the teacher are changing concepts in me, what does it mean to look at the creator through them? Answer: to integrate in them. The teacher formats the 10 and its internal laws so that everyone can be as one, and you penetrate this 10, dissolve in it, and you can be absolutely sure that you will find the creator in it. A 10 is a vessel, a patsuf, the body of the soul. And the light that develops in it is the creator himself. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 9, 2018. Don't be afraid of death. Question: one of your listeners wrote to you, "Dear Michael Leitman, you say that all diseases are from egoism, that if you restore balance with nature, then a person will not get sick. I really believe you. I feel this is correct, the things you say, but I have little time. I knew that I would get sick. My parents died from the same cancer that I have today. These are genes. Nothing can be done about it. What to do? How do I prepare to die? What to think about? Or maybe, can I somehow recover and live? Be healthy and strong." Alexander: answer, first, we must do everything that medicine says. As the Torah says, a doctor has been given the right to heal. Take a doctor whom you can trust, trust him, and surrender yourself into his hands. Question: he asks, what to do? How can I prepare for death? What to think about? Answer: no need to prepare. Let him take Kabbalistic books. They are written by people who sense both this world and the other world, which is on the other side of egoism. Then he will have a better idea of himself, and perhaps he will have enough time to feel this other world, enter it, and be in it. In practice, the barrier between life and death for him will not be so fatal, unexpected, frightening, but on the contrary, he will be very calm about it. Question: when you say other world, there are many explanations for this. For him, for Alexander, what is it? Answer: the other world is on the other side of our today's nature. Our nature today is egoism. If during our lifetime we can reach the next state, the second, opposite to this, that is, the altruistic state, then we will practically begin to feel this next world, the upper world, the second world. There are two possibilities, two worlds. In that state, we can exist forever because there is nothing to correct, nothing to destroy. In this respect, it exists outside of time. I would advise him to start reading our books as soon as possible and enter the states that they describe. Because, in principle, in his state, all this is possible and easy. Question: what to think about? Tell me, please. Answer: about what you now want to feel and find out, and what is being done there, beyond this border of life and death. Question: that is, I admit that I am dying the moment I start thinking about it. Answer: so, what? We can admit all of this. Question: are you very calm about this? Answer: wait a minute. After a certain number of years, I will also be gone. You and everyone. So, what is the problem? We should all be accepting what kind of state we are passing into, what remains of us, of this world, of this life, and into what state we are moving with what remains of us. This is preparation for death. That is, the spirit, the property, of bestowal, which man has created over his egoistic matter, it does not leave him, and with this he continues. Question: what he writes at the end, maybe I can somehow recover and live. Answer: maybe this will restore him for a while. I say for a while, it can be for tens of years. But it is all the same for a while. Because our world was created in order to change to a perfect world. Question: I read this letter and it moved me. Are you saying that this is life, death will come, one way or another? Answer: do not be afraid of that. It is best to understand what our next state is after the death of the animal organism, and how we stay with our spiritual organism. Question: so, we can stay? Answer: we stay. We will definitely stay. My eye remains and has nothing to do with my body. Question: so you are saying, grab onto my real self? Answer: yes, and develop it and live in it now. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, November 23, 2020. To observe the secret of his master. The Book of Zohar, the wisdom that one should know, to know and to observe the secret of his master, to know himself, to know who he is, how he was created, where he comes from and where he is going, how the body is corrected, and how he will be judged by the King of all. In order to understand himself, men must understand his master, the Creator, because we are created, as it is said allegorically, in his image and likeness. So, I need to understand this image, and then I will discern my likeness to him. How can I reveal the Creator so that I would know myself? To do this I must change, and then I will feel and see him. It turns out that when I attain the Creator, I attain myself. It is a process of self-discovery. When I create the image of the Creator inside me, my similarity to him, I find myself corrected. And this is one single image. Therefore, man in Hebrew is called Adam, from the word Domeh, like the Creator. That is, the part of me that will become like the Creator will be called man in me. And everything else in me that is not like the Creator is called an animal. Question: what does it mean to observe the secret of his master? Answer: the secrets are the plans. Why did he create everything? How? Why did he create me with just five senses to perceive the universe and myself in this way? Why do I live for such a short time? What should I achieve in this life? Why was I created with such qualities, in such circumstances, in such a family, in such an era? I mean, I want to know everything. When I master all this knowledge about creation, I will know everything that relates to me. And perhaps I will find in this the means to change my destiny, to be able to rise above my fate, to live a certain number of years on this earth, and then die. Maybe I can improve my life, and maybe I can even rise to a level where I will be above it, be eternal and perfect as the Creator. Why not? If nature is eternal, if it exists in an ideal form excluding only us, then why cannot I be the same integral element of it with all the consequences? From CabTV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 2. At the beginning of the path. Question: why do you think that Kabbalah is the ultimate truth? And if so, why is it that the group that is now engaged in Kabbalah has not yet made the people of the whole world happy, rich spiritually and materially? What is needed for this? Maybe we should want it more? Answer: I have been teaching a Kabbalistic group for more than 20 years. We have not yet reached the level to engage with all of humanity. However, we have created a huge system of virtual classes in 40 different languages, published books, and held conferences on all continents. But this is still the beginning of the path. Kabbalah has been hidden for many millennia and only since 1995 began to be revealed to people. Therefore, today we are at the beginning of the path. From CabTV's Ask a Kabbalist, March 20, 2019. A Jew cannot run away from himself. Question: does history teach us anything? Answer: history doesn't teach us anything. History cannot teach us anything. History will repeat itself until the Jews change it. On the whole, we see in everything that happens a direct instruction that we need to act. Comment: your conclusion is paradoxical for many. According to what you say, Europe will not be able to do anything while the Jews, Israel, can impact what happens in Europe and in the world. My response: yes. Comment: I expect angry comments in response to what you say. My response: I have gotten used to comments, attacks and insults. 30 years ago we spoke about what will happen, and it is happening today, so you can learn from that I am telling the truth. The truth is in nature, and the wisdom of Kabbalah takes the data and conveys them to you. Comment: the idea that the Jewish people are chosen invokes anger. My response: which Jew will not want to get rid of the title of being chosen, of the fact that the Creator has chosen us? This is the burden that we carry. Question: are the Jews forbidden to live in peace and quiet like everyone else? Answer: no, it will not work. It is not a cross but a Star of David that we need to carry. Question: how is being chosen by the Creator expressed? Answer: by having to take the management of the world into our own hands and to guide the world to the good, to show the world that it is possible to unite. The good force will be revealed in the world only if we unite. We need to attain the highest level of human development: love thy friend as thyself. Is that possible? We need to implement this whether we like it or not, and to insert it into the world. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, February 26, 2018.